Hello and welcome to this class entitled God's Living Word. To begin with, I'd like to ask you to take your Bible and to turn to the book of 1 Timothy within the New Testament. The book of 1 Timothy within the New Testament. To start with, I'd simply like to set forth for you the two basic purposes of this class. And they are, first of all, to help you to be able to understand the central truths of the Bible. These are truths which are emphasized over and over throughout the Bible itself. And they are truths which can be understood by any individual and then put into practice within our lives. Secondarily, I'd also like to help you to be able to gain a knowledge and understanding of the keys and principles necessary to be able to read the Bible and then to properly understand it so that you can grow in your knowledge and understanding of the truth of God's Word. Here in the book of 1 Timothy chapter 2, we have set forth to us the very central truths of the Bible. And these are God's basic will for the lives of all men. In the book of 1 Timothy chapter 2, beginning in verse 3, we read, "This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth." Here we see the basic will of God, that which He desires for you and that which He desires for me. This is what He wants for all people. And these are the two central truths around which the whole Bible revolves. First of all, God's plan of salvation. His plan of salvation, which was accomplished in His Son, Jesus Christ. And secondarily, the knowledge of the truth, that which we can gain from growing in our knowledge and understanding of the Bible. Because the Bible gives us the truth of God's Word concerning life, concerning spiritual matters, and concerning all which we need to know to be able to live our lives in a way which is pleasing to God. This then is God's basic desire or His will. He wants all men to be saved, and He wants all men to come to a knowledge of the truth. It is therefore dependent upon us. Do we desire to receive that which God desires for us to have? Let's go over one book now into the book of 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Because if you and I are going to know and understand God's will, there is only one place that we can come. And that is to the Word of God, the Word of God which we have written within the Bible. Within the Bible itself, the Word of God is called the Scriptures, and this simply means the writings or the holy writings. And these terms, therefore, can be used synonymously. We can say either the Bible, or we can say the Scriptures, or very simply, we can say God's Word. In the book of 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning in verse 14, we have some further information regarding the Scriptures, regarding the Word of God in written form. And let's read beginning in verse 14. "But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." Once again here, we see the two basic purposes of Scripture. First of all, the Scriptures can help us to learn about Jesus Christ. And in learning about Jesus Christ, who He is and what He accomplished for us, we can believe in Him and therefore receive God's gift of eternal life. We can receive that which God desires for us to have. Secondarily, we see that the Bible is inspired by God, that it is God-breathed. And as we learn it, we will be trained in righteousness so as to live our lives in a way which is pleasing to God. These then are the two basic purposes of Scripture. They set forth God's plan of salvation so that you and I, as God's people, can receive that which He desires for us, His gift of eternal life through believing in His Son, Jesus Christ. And secondarily, they are the truth. The Scripture set forth the truth so that you and I can grow in our knowledge and understanding of how to live our lives according and in harmony with God's will day by day. Look now over into the book of the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John. Because here we see a further statement, this time by the Lord Jesus Christ, concerning the great benefit which we as God's people can receive from gaining a knowledge and understanding of the truth of His Word. In the book of John, chapter 8, let's look beginning in verse 31. To the Jews who had believed on Him, Jesus said, "If you hold to My teaching, you are really My disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Jesus said to those people who were there at the time in which He lived and who had believed in Him, that if they continued in His teaching, that is, in the Word of God, which Jesus both spoke and taught, that if they continued in that Word of God, that they would know the truth, and the truth would make them free. Freedom is something which many people within this world in which we live today are greatly concerned about. Most people seek it through political means, and there certainly is a political freedom which a person can have. And yet, there is a greater freedom, and that's the freedom which comes from knowing and continuing in the truth of God's Word. This is a spiritual freedom, a freedom which goes beyond the confines of any economic or political or any other type of freedom which is available within this world. And Jesus said that if we knew the truth and if we continue in that truth, that we would truly be made free. This is one of the great benefits which you and I can derive from gaining a knowledge and understanding of God's Word. I'd like for us now to go to the Old Testament and to begin within the Old Testament and then to go into the New Testament and to see some of the great benefits which the Word of God has for those of us who desire to know and live for God. Beginning in the book of Psalms beginning in Psalm 19. The book of Psalms is simply filled with many great references to the Word of God and to all that God's Word can do for the people of God. In the book of Psalms, beginning in Psalm 19, in verse 7, we have some statements by an Old Testament believer as he sets forth his great love for God and his love for the Word of God. Beginning in verse 7, we read what David, a great man of God of the Old Testament, has to say regarding God's Word. "The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes." Here is the expression of that heart of that great man of God, David, within the Old Testament. His great love for God and the expression of the joy and the great benefits which he gained from having a knowledge and understanding of the Word of God. Verse 9. "The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever." The fear of the Lord within the Bible speaks of the awe, the reverence, or the respect which we as God's people are to have for God. And we gain that reverence or respect for God through a knowledge and understanding of His Word. "The ordinances of the Lord are sure and altogether righteous. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the comb. By them is your servant warned, and in keeping them there is great reward." You and I live in a world which is greatly consumed by the desire to gain earthly and worldly riches. And yet, David here within the book of Psalms expresses the truth that God's Word is more precious than gold, than much pure gold, and that it's sweeter than honey, the honey which comes from a honeycomb. As you and I gain a knowledge and understanding of God's Word, we are able to grow in the spiritual riches of life. And in keeping that Word of God, there is great reward. Turn over now into the book of Psalms, Psalm 119. The great thing about coming to a knowledge and understanding of God's Word is that the benefits are not only for this life, but they are benefits which can be a blessing to us throughout all eternity. Because God's people have not only this life in which to live, but they also have the hope of a much greater life to come when Jesus Christ returns in the future to set about a kingdom, an everlasting kingdom, in which God's people can reign together with Him throughout eternity. In the book of Psalms 119, we see, beginning in Psalm 97, some further information which the psalmist here has to say regarding the Word of God. Beginning in verse 97. Oh, how I love your law! I meditate on it all day long. Your commands make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more insight than all my teachers, for I meditate on your statutes. I have more understanding than the elders, for I obey your precepts. I have kept my feet from every evil path, so that I might obey your word. I have not departed from your laws, for you yourself have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. I gain understanding from your precepts, therefore I hate every wrong path. Look at the testimony of this Old Testament believer concerning the scriptures of the Old Testament which were available to him at that time. From the scriptures he was able to gain knowledge and understanding and wisdom for living his life. And therefore, in verse 105 we read, "Your word, that is, God's word, is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path." The Word of God then can be a lamp for our feet and a light for our path, because it imparts to us the spiritual knowledge, understanding, and wisdom which we need to be able to live this life in a way which is pleasing to God. These then are some examples of what the Word of God meant to the believers of the Old Testament times. And now I'd like to go over into the New Testament and to begin with Jesus Christ himself and to see some of the statements which he had to say regarding the great truth of the Word of God for his life and for the lives of others. Let's look over into the book of Matthew, chapter 4. The book of Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, the first book within the New Testament. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 4. Throughout his ministry, Jesus Christ constantly referred to and oftentimes quoted the Old Testament scriptures so as to be able to set forth the principles of God's Word and then to be able to explain them to God's people so that they could gain a knowledge and understanding of God's will and then live according to that within their lives. In the book of Matthew chapter 4, beginning in verse 4, we see a statement which shows us the attitude which Jesus himself had towards the written Word of God. In verse 4 we read, "Jesus answered, 'It is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God.'" Jesus stated, "It is written, it is written." And whenever we see this statement within the Bible, it's referring to the Word of God as was written down, generally within the Old Testament scriptures. In other words, Jesus here is quoting the Old Testament. And he says that man does not live on bread alone. Now you and I, of course, know that every individual needs physical food or physical nourishment so as to be able to live within this life. We need to eat breakfast, lunch, supper, or whatever, so as to be able to have the strength and energy which we need to carry on within this life. And yet, Jesus is pointing out a greater truth. And that is that not only do we need physical food, but we also need something which is far greater. And that is the spiritual food, or the spiritual nourishment, which we can only gain by a knowledge and understanding of God's Word. He said that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. If we are to live within this life, therefore, and to have the spiritual nourishment which we need, there is only one place where we can come. There is only one place where we can come to gain that spiritual understanding, wisdom, and knowledge, which is so necessary for this life in which we live. And that is to the written Word of God, which we have within the Bible. Turn over now to the book of the Gospel of Matthew still, in chapter 15, and let's see another statement or section of Scripture in which once again Jesus Christ sets forth his own attitude regarding the written Word of God which we have within the Scriptures. Here we have a confrontation which took place between Jesus and some of the religious leaders of that day who were called the Pharisees. The Pharisees were a group or a sect of religious leaders within the religion of Judaism of that time who held to a very strict interpretation of the Old Testament law. In fact, they had set up a whole system of man-made rules, regulations, and interpretations which had been encompassed in what was called the tradition of the elders. This was an oral tradition which had been set forth and built up over hundreds of years. And it many times negated the original intent and purpose of the Word of God as was set forth within the Old Testament Scriptures. And therefore, we see a confrontation here which took place between Jesus and this group of religious leaders of that day. In chapter 15, beginning in verse 1, we read, "Then some Pharisees and teachers of the law came to Jesus from Jerusalem and asked, 'Why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? They don't wash their hands before they eat.'" Now, this certainly doesn't sound like a big problem to you and me today. But in those times, it was a great problem. At least it was to the Pharisees and to those religious leaders. And they said to Jesus, "Look, why don't your disciples wash their hands before they eat?" This was a ceremonial washing, which was not a part of the Old Testament law as written within the Old Testament, but had been set forth by these Pharisees. It was, therefore, a commandment of men, something which they had set up and which had been set forth to the Jewish people, an addition to the Old Testament law. Verse 3, Jesus replied, "And why do you Pharisees break the command of God for the sake of your tradition?" And ladies and gentlemen, this is such a great statement because this is so true in the world in which we live today as well. The religious traditions of men, the commandments, the doctrines of men, the outward religious rituals and ordinances of men so often break or nullify the great truth of the Word of God which we have within the Scriptures. Jesus said to these people that by virtue of their man-made rules and regulations that they had broken the Word of God. Look in verse 7. Jesus said to them, "You hypocrites, Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you. These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are but rules taught by men." Jesus said to these people at that time that although outwardly they were acting very religious, although outwardly they had their own religious ritual which they had invented and set forth as being the will of God to the people, what was truly occurring was that these people were simply honoring God with their lips, but in their hearts they were far from Him. God is a God who looks upon the heart, and He desires that we serve Him from a heart which desires to truly live in alignment and harmony with His will. He wants us to have true care and concern for both God and for God's people. And the only way that we can do that is to gain a knowledge and understanding of the truth of His Word, which we have here revealed within the Scriptures. God's Word is our only standard for truth in this life in which we live, because the only alternative to that is to become prey to all of the religious doctrines and commandments of men, which are so prevalent throughout this world in which we live. Look now over into the book of Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22. Just go a few chapters over again to Matthew chapter 22, verse 29. And once again, we have a statement from Jesus Christ regarding His attitude towards the Scriptures. Matthew chapter 22, in verse 29. And this again is in relationship to a confrontation which took place with Jesus and another group of religious leaders of that day, the Sadducees. In verse 29, Jesus replied, "You are in error. You are in error because you do not know the Scriptures or the power of God." What a wonderful statement once again by Jesus Christ. He said to these people of that time that they were in error, because they did not know the Scriptures or the power of God. If you and I are going to know the truth of God's Word, there is only one place where we can come. If we are to not live our lives in error, we must come to the Scriptures, because it is only then that we can understand how to live our lives in a way which is pleasing to God. And as we do that, we will know that truth which can make us free. Look now over into one of the epistles, the Epistle of Hebrews. This is several books over near the end of your Bible, into Hebrews chapter 4. The Bible which you and I have today was collected over many centuries. In other words, it was begun to be written within the Old Testament times, and then those books were collected and put together, and then the same was true within the first century for the New Testament. And therefore, it was written over many centuries, and then it was collected and put together in the form in which we have it today. And yet, the truth of God's Word, which we have within the Bible, is just as true today as it was at any time in the history of the world. And here in the book of Hebrews, chapter 4, we have a wonderful statement concerning the Word of God. Hebrews chapter 4, beginning in verse 12. "For the Word of God is living and active, and it's sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart." Here we see that the Word of God is living. It's living and it's active. Well, why is it living? It's living because the truth of the Word of God is just as true today as it ever was. And for those who believe it, it becomes effective in their lives. It has meaning for their lives. And it helps them within their day-by-day living for God. We also see that the Word of God is the judge of the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. That's because God's Word is the expression of God's will. Therefore, when we know and understand God's Word, we also are able to know and understand God's will. Because just as you and I express our will by way of words, God Himself has expressed His will within His Word as well. Verse 13, "Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of Him to whom we must give account." God is the creator of the heavens and the earth, and therefore He is the one who knows how to live this life. He is the one who has set forth within the Bible, within the Scriptures, the truth regarding this life and how we as God's people are to live our lives in a way which is pleasing to God. When we do that, When we gain that knowledge and understanding of God's Word, we know that we can live our lives in a way which is pleasing to Him, and that we will receive the benefits and the rewards for that, not only in this life, but through all eternity. Look over now into the book of 1 Peter. Just go a couple of books over into the book of 1 Peter. You and I within this life are perhaps going to live maybe 70, 80 years. I suppose that within the United States of America now, the average lifespan is approximately 74, 75 years for a man, and maybe a little longer for a woman. But certainly even 70 or 80 years, and of course many of us may live a much shorter lifespan than that, but even 70 or 80 years is a very short time in the light of all eternity. And God is a God of love. He desires for us not only to be able to live within this life in a way in which we can receive His blessings, but He also desires for us to receive His gift of eternal life, which each of us can receive through putting our faith in Jesus Christ, God's only Son. And as we continue in a knowledge of God's Word, we know that we will be able to receive God's blessings not only in this life, but throughout eternity. In verse 24 of the book of 1 Peter chapter 1, we see a great comparison here about the lives of men and the truth of God's Word. Verse 24, "For all men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord stands forever." All men are like grass. What a great comparison. Because in the light of eternity, our lives are very short. They're simply like the grass of the field, which is here today, and then tomorrow can be cut down or blown away. And all the glory of man, no matter how great it may look in the eyes of others, is simply very short. It's here today, and then tomorrow, just like the flower of the field, it can be blown away. And yet, there is something which stands forever, and that is the truth of God's Word. God's Word lives and abides forever. You and I, therefore, should come to the Word of God to be able to study not only the literature of this day, but the literature of eternity which we find within the Bible. Because the Word of God has answers for this life. It teaches us how to be saved. It teaches us how to come to that knowledge of the truth, so that we can have confidence within our lives that we know God's will and are able to live our lives in a way which is pleasing to Him. Therefore, we're going to come to the Bible within this class, and we're going to endeavor to study it, to see those central truths of the Bible, as well as to gain a knowledge and understanding of the principles and the keys for properly understanding and applying God's Word within our lives. We're going to come to the Bible and we're going to study it, because the Bible, as the living Word of God, is that which we need to be able to live our lives in a way which is pleasing to God.